The date was Wednesday. The place was the Dawning Restaurant on Portage Avenue. Bill Taves shared this short little story with us, the guys who were there for breakfast, and rumor has it that this actually happened while Bill worked for Child Evangelism Fellowship, but I'd like to stress that's just a rumor. As Bill was teaching one day, he said, "If I sold my house and my car and I had a big garage sale, gave all my money to the church, would that get me into heaven?" He asked the little children. "No," the children answered. "If I cleaned the church every day and I mowed the yard and kept everything neat and tidy, would that get me into heaven?" "No," they said one more time. "Well then, if I was kind to animals and gave candy to all the children and loved my wife, would that get me into heaven?" Once more, they all answered, "No." "Well," he continued, thinking that they were a little bit better with the theology and sophisticated than he was giving them credit for, he says, "Well then, how do I get into heaven?" And a five-year-old promptly shouted, "You gotta be dead!" The wisdom from the mouth of children. We sit there and laugh, but if you want to get to heaven, you first must be dead, but you also must be dead to self. Isn't that so true? We need to be dead to ourselves and have Christ alive in us. And last week we started delving into the mystery of the church, and we learned that we are to be faithful administrators of the grace of God. Faithful administrators of the mystery, which is the church. And we discovered the substance of the mystery is the fact that we are joint heirs of God's riches, of the same body, and sharers together with the promises of Christ Jesus and the Jewish nation. And today I want to look into the third clue. The first clue was the administration. The second clue is the substance. But the third clue is the minister of the mystery. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. It says, "I became a minister of this gospel by the gift of God, by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the fellowship of this mystery, which for ages past is kept hidden in God, who created all things." The minister of the mystery. One of those things that concerns me about the church in general today is the idea that the pastor is the minister. But look at what Paul says. Paul says that he was a minister. Why does he say he's a minister, not the minister? Because God, by his almighty power, gave him that privilege. And he gave him that privilege just like he gives everyone in the church that privilege, not just the pastor. If you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, God has empowered you to be his minister. He has given you the responsibility to pass on the wonderful mystery of the church to other people. In other words, by God's grace, he has given you the responsibility of spreading the gospel. He's given you the responsibility, and he will give you the strength to do it. He will give you the strength to be a witness for him. As verse 7 says, through the working of his power. Not through our own power, but his power. That same power that spoke the universe into existence will give you the grace to be a minister of the gospel. That's power. But what kind of a minister should we be? How should we act if we're going to be ministers? Should that be a source of pride? I'm the minister. I'm a minister of the gospel. That's awesome. Look at me. Well, one of the worst ways that we can witness to folks is from a position of pride. An attitude that says, look at how good I am and look at how bad you are. Look at Paul's ministering attitude in verse 8. Paul understood the humility of ministry. He remembered that he was before Christ. Christ saved him. And he understood that without Christ, he was a dead sinner, just like the worst person on the planet. He also realized that everything he was and everything that we are is because of Christ. Christ's love, His grace, His mercy. Once again, Paul's humility showed him his emptiness of himself. He was dead to self. He had the humility. Because humility is powerful. It's a powerful witness to the world. As a matter of fact, I believe that arrogance and pride have done more damage to the church than just about anything else. We've hurt the church's witness because we have been arrogant. We have been full of pride. And you see, when we're arrogant and when we're boastful, the world looks even harder for us to mess up. And when they look hard, it's not difficult to find those spots where we mess up, where we fall short, because we're human. When we don't brag on our righteousness, when the world starts calling us hypocrites and charlatans, but we need to be humble. We need to be like Paul. We need to be like Christ. When we don't brag on our righteousness, when we start looking for Christ, we brag on God's grace. We brag on the righteousness of Christ. That's when we're being effective ministers of the mystery. That's the part of the mystery, after all, isn't it? How God can take a frail, broken vessel like me and use me for His glory. That's certainly a mystery to me. How He managed to take me from my sin, my horrendous past, and just, you're going to be a pastor. You're going to be a minister. You're going to bring people into the knowledge of Christ. That's part of the mystery. How God can take a church full of people like me who have faults and turn us into this incredible body of Christ. But it will happen if we let it. It'll happen if we do what Paul said in the last part of verse 8 and part of verse 9. If we preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and make all see the fellowship of the mystery. The word that's translated fellowship is the exact same word that's translated in administrators back in verse 2. In other words, we can change this community and impact the world for Christ if we humbly preach Christ to the people and demonstrate to them the wonderful mystery of the church. Demonstrate by showing the unselfish, the self-emptied love that we have for one another. Showing them that unselfish love that we have for God. We are to live Christ. We are to live that they may see Christ through us. Right after the Last Supper, Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 13, verse 35, he says this, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Well, we're not going to be able to impact anybody for Christ if we don't demonstrate that love of God in our lives and our love for each other. It's that simple. But if we show that love of God with one another, if we do that, we can impact those around us. What an impact that we can have on those people who see it. Look at the impact that Paul had. The same God that empowered Paul will empower us. He was the arguably the greatest apostle. He brought so many thousands of people to Christ. He was the beginning of the church with Peter and the other apostles. They created what we still do today through the power of God. God that empowered Paul, that empowered Peter, that empowered all of the disciples to travel the world and to tell others about God, that same God will empower us if we let Him. We are to be ministers of the mystery. But why? What's the purpose of it all? The purpose is to impact the world for Christ. And we tend to think of the world as the big picture, but that's not the biggest picture. The biggest picture is the eternal counsels of God. And that brings us to our fourth clue that reveals the mystery of the church, the wisdom of the mystery. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purposes, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wisdom of the mystery. And Paul is saying that God has shown His manifold wisdom in creating this wonderful mystery called the church. It's part of His eternal plan. And His plan for the church is to show His manifold wisdom to the world. But not only to the world. By God's grace, the church will show His wisdom to what verse 10 calls the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. The wisdom of the mystery is that our audience is a whole lot bigger than we might think. God has chosen the church to demonstrate His character to all of creation. All of creation, seen and unseen. The church is engaged in a battle of cosmic proportions, and we are on the witness stand, standing as character witnesses for God Almighty. We're there proclaiming who God is to this world and beyond. How nearsighted and self-centered can we be to think that some little internal conflict or issue that we might have is worthy of wasting our time and our energy? Or worse yet, how it's worthy of spending our time as witnesses to God's character? Is God's manifold wisdom made known through us? Is it known by this community? Much less by the powers and the principalities that are out there. Do you remember what it said? The rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms? Who are the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms? Well, our minds might think to the demons and to Satan. Okay, yeah, he rules. But who is the supreme ruler? We are a witness of God Almighty's character to God Himself. He is the ruler, the authority that spoke all into creation, and we are witness of Him to Him. That's a little intimidating, isn't it? I'm going to witness God's character and tell Him what He's like. But that's what we have in the power of Christ. Do you remember what the word manifold means? It means variegated or multicolored. And it amazes me that from three colors, blue, yellow, and red, every color that we have ever seen comes from those three colors. Those three colors. Imagine every color that you can imagine mixing. We're talking about the seemingly endless combinations to make billions and billions of colors come from red, blue, and yellow. Those three colors. The manifold wisdom of God. If we realize that we are all ministers of the gospel, we are all part of that delivery system for that multicolored wisdom of God, that wisdom that meets every individual where they are. Maybe you need green. Maybe you need red. Maybe you need purple or mauve or some violet or maybe some brown. Where are you on that color spectrum? Well, you know what? God has got somebody in His wisdom for you to bring that wisdom of God into your knowledge so that you can understand it. The multicolored, the variegated, the manifold wisdom of God. The wisdom of the mystery that is God's wisdom and character is made known by His church. That's why there's so many different denominations in the church. So that we can all come to the knowledge of Christ through a different vein and understand that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And by His church, we've seen who. Who is the mystery? The administrators of the mystery. We've seen what? The substance of the mystery. We've seen what we're supposed to do. The so what? The minister of the mystery. And we've seen the why. Why is the wisdom of the mystery? And finally, we need to see the how. The fifth clue that reveals the mystery of the church is the heart of the mystery. Ephesians 12 and 13 say this: In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. The first four clues don't really mean a whole lot unless you have the heart to follow through. The first, we have to have a bold heart. But before I said, we're supposed to be humble. And now you're saying, have a bold heart? Is it possible to have both bold and humble? Of course it is. Jesus was, Paul was, John was, after Pentecost, Peter was. It was possible because the kind of boldness that Paul is talking about doesn't come from ourselves. It's not about being aggressive and self-centered. Boldness doesn't say, look at what I've done. It says, look at what Christ has done for me. And boldness says it anywhere and everywhere, no matter what the circumstances. There are people all over this world being arrested and killed and tortured simply for proclaiming the name of Jesus. That's boldness. Being a witness, no matter what the cost. You say, well, that doesn't really happen today anymore. That was in the time of Paul. There was persecution then. Through the Middle Ages, the Spanish Inquisition. But not today. The date was October 20th, 2008. The place was Kabul. Taliban gunmen shot and killed 34-year-old Gail Williams, a Christian aid worker, as she was walking to work because she was spreading her religion. The Associated Press reported, the Taliban claimed responsibility for shooting Williams, a South African, British national, who worked with the disabled in Afghan. This woman, quote, came to Afghanistan to teach Christianity to the people of Afghanistan. Our leaders issued a decree to kill this woman. This morning, our people killed her in Kabul. A quote by Zahibullah the spokesman for the Taliban. He spoke to the Associated Press, and that's what he said. She came to teach Christianity to our people, so we killed her. October 20th, 2008. It's still happening today. The Associated Press reported Williams was working for a Christian charity organization called Serve, which is Serving Emergency Relief and Vocational Enterprises, worked with the Afghan refugees in Pakistan since 1980. And a statement on its website, Serve, described Williams as a person who always loved the Afghans and was dedicated to serving those who are disabled. But she was killed because she taught Christianity while she was helping those who were sick. We have to have a bold heart. But we not only have to have a bold heart, but we have to have a confident heart. Once again, confidence and humility seem to be contradictory, but they're not. It's about who your confidence is in. Paul says that we have access to God with confidence through faith in Jesus. God has given His church a powerful tool called prayer. By prayer, through faith in Jesus Christ, that we have access to the very throne of God. We can access that throne with confidence. Confidence that He hears us. Confidence that He will mold our will to His will. Confidence that He will answer in accordance with His will. Confidence that God is supreme, the Almighty God of the universe. A bold heart, a confident heart, and finally, we must have a courageous heart. The reason that Paul had to tell them in verse 13 not to be discouraged at his tribulations. When Paul wrote this, he was in prison in Rome. That was just the latest of a string of tribulations that he suffered. Paul had been through many of them. He had been beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, left for dead many times. But he never quit preaching the gospel. If he was still alive and breathing, if he was in prison, he was still preaching the gospel. We live in an amazingly wonderful country. But if things continue to go the way they're going, we're not too far removed from this persecution. If not us, then the next generation or the next will experience it. That's our kids. That's our grandkids or our great-grandchildren. So tell me, if they don't see us show enough courage to witness to our neighbors, how will that prepare them to show courage in persecution? If we have the freedom to go and talk to our neighbor without persecution, without real persecution, they may mock us, they may laugh behind our backs, they may laugh at right in our faces, but that's hardly the persecution that Paul suffered and that will come to this nation. To us, the church is no longer a freshly revealed mystery like it was to the Ephesian Christians. Many of us have been around churches for a long time. The question is, have you just been around churches? Or are you a part of the church? Are you a part of the body of Christ? Are you a faithful administrator of the mystery of the church? Are you a humble minister to the mystery of the church? Are you bold in your witness? Are you confident in your prayers? Do you show courage that will stand in the face of persecution? Where do you stand today? I encourage you today to talk to and invite your neighbor, your family member, your friend to church to be a part in a dialogue with them about Christ. Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to do that this week? Be bold, confident, and courageous to have that heart that we have been given through the power of Christ. Can you do that? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do it today? Our closing hymn has these lyrics. I'm going to ask us to stand in a moment and sing these lyrics. It says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. How can we sing these lyrics and not be filled with boldness and courage to stand up and say, it is well with my soul, whatever my lot. Whatever my lot. Whether things are good, whether things are bad, whether things are going just great, or I'm being persecuted, is it well with my soul? Can we stand and sing these lyrics? Can we sing them with boldness? And can we mean them? It is well with my soul. Worship team, let's come. And the rest of us, if you're able, please stand and sing. It is well with my soul.